Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.
Wow. Give Jesus a hand. We love you, Lord. We honor you in this house first and foremost. God, above everything, we lift up the name of Jesus. Be honored, be blessed, be glorified. And Hannah, I just hear the word of the Lord saying, daughter, I want you to know that I have received your sacrifice, that you are precious in my sight. And the Lord says, daughter, many years ago, you took my hand when I reached out to you. And even though it felt like you felt very frail, I began to move in the midst of your life. And I began to show you even how to combat even the very gates of hell. And because of that, the enemy went on overtime to do what he could to even undermine your faith and try to turn you and try to break you. But I want you to know, daughter, you are an overcomer. And you are one that has broken open the way. And even though there's been things that you've said, God, why? And I've had to fight this kind of way. But the Lord says, daughter, all along, I've had a plan for your life. And all along, I said, she'll make a good wife. She'll make a good mother. She'll be one that will oversee my house and impart my heart and bring great strength to the weak. And the Lord says, daughter, the sounds that you bring begin to open the heavens and loose the brokenhearted into that place of release and wholeness. And the Lord says, you'll see that as wave after wave comes to you, that you will elevate. And there will be opportunities that will come to you, and you'll shake your head and say, I don't know if it's yet for another day. And the Lord says, as you wait upon me, I'm going to show you the right times, because I'm going to even impart. There's going to be training and equipping. There's going to be things that you're going to know are a part of my hand and a part of your call into the land, says the Lord. So the Lord says, daughter, don't be even concerned. Don't think, oh, what's wrong? I want you to declare, I am right in the middle of God's plan. I am right in the middle of God's hand. And the Lord says, I will be with you every step. It's like the enemy tried to say there's something that's delayed, but it's not. You're not late. You're on time. And God's going to begin to arise in you, and you're going to see that that horizon is not as far off as you think, but there are some steps to take. And now, Father, I anoint her right now with fresh oil. I anoint her head. There's a preciousness to who she is. There's tender, loving mercies. There's so much love to give, and she's going to have that. I speak to her body, her soul, her mind, her even finances that she has need of, Lord, to grow, that she can do all that you placed in her heart to do for you. I see some blessings coming from the Father above just for you, saying, daughter, this is from me to you. There's an intimacy that God loves that you bring when you come before him. And so, Father, we just anoint her right now. Come on, just show her some love and loose the health and the life of God. And I don't know, is Daniel, are you out there? I heard the Lord saying, son, I want you to know the double portion that you asked me for is not too much, but it's exactly what I have decreed for your life. And you're going to see that the word of the Lord is going to be in your mouth. Yes, you know how to drum and you know how to even be behind the scenes, but don't be afraid of the day I begin to elevate and open the right doors for you to be able to speak, says the Lord. For you have my heartbeat. You know the rhythm of heaven, and you're going to have even that quickening of your step in this next season. And you're going to be amazed that you will not just walk through the door, you'll run. For I've given you the heartbeat of a generation, and I'm going to show you some of the things that are happening even right now. I'm going to give you the word of the Lord, and you're going to have that which will even be a decree about the times and the seasons that are upon this land. There is a birthing taking place, and you're going to be a part of that kind of midwife anointing to be able to bring people into the new that I want them to flow into. And the Lord says, I'm with you, son. You're right in alignment with my purposes even for this time, and you're going to find that you're going to grow into that leadership mantle, and it's not going to be a hard thing for you to step into places of authority. It won't be just because of your name or just because of your family, but it will be because my hand has been upon you and you have answered the call of God. So, Lord, I anoint this man with the double portion of your presence, the apostolic, the prophetic, and the pastoral heart in the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. A praise. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. And we give you all the praise. How many know you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord? So, you know, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So say, you are blessed and highly flavored. Oh, all right. Come on, you may be seated in the house of the Lord. Welcome again. You know, as Pastor Daniel was sharing, I was just thinking, there's nothing more special than family. And years ago, God spoke into the ministries of Christian International that I'm a part of, and one of the key anointings God spoke over us was family, and that God's saying, it is in family. That's where I started everything. That's where I will finish everything. And that it's in family that people grow out of insecurity into security. In fact, the Lord said, if a person's acting immature, it's because they're insecure. But the place that you receive that security is only one place. It's called the love of God, and it's found in family. And I am so glad to be able to call this family, your pastors, Daniel and Karen, my family. And that we co-labor in the kingdom and to see what God is doing right here. How many know from all the way to Alaska to Florida, God's moving in our nation. And from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top, I believe God has a spirit of awakening and revival that he wants to loose. In fact, lift up your hands right now. Father, we decree that we're not waiting for revival. We are in revival now. And that the awakening that you have decreed is now upon a generation to begin to even enter into a season of transformation. And so we decree over Wausau. We decree over the Anchorage area. We decree over even this state that is so great that it will be great in God, not just in size, not just in beauty, but in the revelation and in the impartation of wisdom that you want to bring. And so we say now, Alaska, receive the transformation that is upon you in the name of Jesus. We decree beauty for all the ashes of many lives that have gone by the wayside. It's time, it's time, it's time. Give the Lord a hand clap of agreement in the name of Jesus. You know, I believe that when we come together, it's always a divine appointment. And when you have a divine appointment, there's a divine deposit that gets loosed inside of you. But at the end of the day, what God is after is a divine assignment. And so that when you receive something, then you have something to give. And so God wants to impart into our heart that which we have need of to be able to run with the mighty ones. You know, you may think that maybe that's not me, but God's saying, I'm looking at you, and I know what I put inside of you, and I'm going to call that forth for this season, and you're going to run with vision. If there's one thing that the enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy out of people's lives is this. It may, oh, he's after my family. Oh, he's after my money. Oh, he's after my marriage. Well, he is, but what he's really after is your vision. Because he knows if he can steal your vision, you'll never be a threat to his kingdom. He knows if he can steal your vision, you'll wander aimlessly and never fulfill your destiny. But, oh, a people that know who they are, they know what they're called to, a people that burn with the vision of the Lord that's upon them, they have nothing impossible to them. In fact, it's kind of interesting that my wife was just in Washington, D.C. with Cindy Jacobs and the Deborah Company, and they were making decrees over our nation, but she went out to the Washington Monument, and there they began to project, you know, the Apollo, I think it was 11, that was shooting up to the sky that went to the moon, and they projected it on the monument, Washington Monument. They projected it in the mall, and it was just amazing, amazing what they were able to do. But it's been 50 years since that impossible mission became a reality. And I believe that God is decreeing a season of jubilee, that impossible things, things that we said, I don't know if that could take place in Alaska. I don't know if that could take place in the United States. God's saying, why are you living in the land of impossibilities? This is the season. I'm going to renew your vision and renew your heart. There's nothing impossible to those that believe. How many believe that God could do something amazing in our generation? We wouldn't just talk about what he did then. We're going to be talking about what he's doing now. And so I believe that season of jubilee, you know, the word jubilee in the Hebrew is the word teruah. And literally, you know, this state is the 49th state, you know, 7 times 7, that anointing of jubilee multiply. And that word jubilee was actually first used there as Joshua was going into the land of Canaan, and he was facing the walls of Jericho. And here the children of Israel had been in captivity all those years, and then they came out. And when they came out, he brought them out with a high hand. He sent them through that time of testing in the wilderness and all the way through to the other side. He said, but this is the end. I want you to claim your inheritance. See, the whole concept of Jubilee for the people of God was that they could reconnect to their inheritance. Whatever you lost, whatever you got stuck in, whatever you found indebted to, whatever you found yourself in captivity of, in that Jubilee season, it was like, you are free. Like Isaiah 61, whoever's in captivity, I've opened the door, out of the prison you go, you are set free. Jesus paid the price for your victory. And so as he went into the land of Canaan, and it looked impossible because of the walled cities, because of the giants, because of the fortified things that were there that looked like they could not be overcome, God says, if you will keep your eye on the prize, march around that city and keep your mouth quiet from every bit of doubt and unbelief. And when I say shout, this is what I want you to shout. I want you to shout the word teruah, which is Jubilee, which means you get everything back. This is your city. This is your land. This is your nation. I'm going to give you wherever your feet shall go. I'm giving it to you. And some of you need to lay claim right now and understand that God's saying to you, it's time for Jubilee. Can you agree with me? We're going to shout this word teruah, which literally means I'm going to get it all back. Can you do it? One, two, three, teruah. When that happened, the walls began to fall. The impossibilities began to be broken. If it's been 50 years since we went to the moon, who knows what impossible things God has in mind for this generation and this season in the earth. And I want to decree to you, God speaking not just over the church and over the United States of America and over the nations of the earth, but he's speaking over your life as well. Turn to somebody. Can you give them a high five and say, it's time for your Jubilee? That means even if you made some mistakes, even if it was your fault, even if you got yourself in that mess, it never said, well, it's because of your mistake you don't get to have Jubilee. No, Jesus said, hey, I know that you're a mess until you're blessed, but I want to bless you, and I want to change it all for you. So even if you're condemning yourself, let go and say, God, I need grace. I need mercy. I need your love to show up, and I want you to get me out of every mess. And that's the promise of Jesus, our Jubilee, that he wants to bring to every single one of us. See, when the Lord looked down upon planet Earth, he saw that it was dark, it was void, lifeless, and it was out of order. And I'm telling you what, God doesn't like any of those things. He doesn't like things that are dark, in disorder, or things that are broken, or things that are barren of life. And the truth of it is, sometimes we feel like God shows up to us and we feel like, that's me. I'm a mess. But I'm telling you what he began to do that changed everything is he spoke into the very atmosphere of the earth. He opened up a little of the windows of heaven and he allowed that atmosphere of heaven to enter into the earth and created a space called the Garden of Eden. He created man in his image and likeness. He says, hey, I want to loose some of heaven into the earth and I want to give man dominion that he might rule and reign, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth with my glory, and then I'll give you authority over the earth to subdue and have dominion, and you will break the spirit of barrenness. You will break the spirit of darkness. You will break that spirit of disorder. You know, there's nothing quite like it when you get to a certain facility and you find out that there's a sign on the door and you feel urgency and it says, out of order. I think that's what God kind of felt when he said, Adam, where are you? I need you. Come on, get back in order. Get back in alignment. I need man to fulfill my plan. And that's why Jesus came to redeem man in the image of Jesus, in the image of the Father, that he might go out and fulfill what God had in mind in the very beginning. You might feel like, well, I'm a mess, but God says that's where I want to bless. And what God does is something called restoration. You know what restoration means? You take something broken, and you begin to bring it back to full beauty, full ability, full capacity, full glory, full intent, the original purpose. You get it back in line by the time you're done. It looks better than when it came off the showroom floor, and it's even more valuable. And God's saying, when I get done with you, wait and see. The whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, that when they have the glory back upon them, I tell you what, all the earth will begin to be changed. Because of the authority and the anointing that's being loosed in the midst of the earth. We know that when God began to move in the garden, that the enemy tried to do some things too. See if he can't get man separated from God. See if he can't bring some confusion. See if he can't bring some chaos or rebellion. Every time we see revival and awakening, the enemy gets nervous and wants to do something to stop it. But I'm decreeing now in the name of Jesus that wave after wave after wave is going to overwhelm every plan of hell until he can't stand, he cannot stop, and he cannot divide or divert that which God has decreed will take place in our generation. And I believe that this great state is on the verge of that release of anointing that God has decreed even many generations before. God showed me a little while back, you know, we love these devices, iPads, iPhones, iWatch. I don't watch. I will, I won't, I don't know. But one thing we know is one thing, they need to be charged up. How many understand that when we come together and worship, when we hear the word, it says faith comes by hearing the word, that we get charged back up? How many know if I had this iPad or my iWatch on my hand, if I don't charge it up pretty soon, it's going to what? Die. And when it's dead, how good is it for me? Useless. So if you don't charge up, you're not going to be what you're supposed to be. You may look and call yourself a Christian, but hey, where's the power? Where's the authority? Where's the anointing? Where's the presence of God? Where's the purposes of heaven being fulfilled? So we come together to get charged up, hooked up for destiny. But then I found out you got to do something else. You also have to keep it upgraded. Turn to somebody and say, you look like you could use an upgrade. Oh, be careful. Be nice. All right. Man, some of you wives are having too much fun there. Okay, all right. And the truth of it is, now and again, you get this little notification that says what? An upgrade is available. What do you have to do when that comes along? You have to choose to, one, make an uploaded request to say, yes, I want the upgrade, and two, to take the time to receive it. And then it asks this crazy question. It says, do you agree to all the terms and conditions? How many read all the terms and conditions? I don't want to see any liars today, okay? All right, maybe if you're a lawyer, you might. Other than that. You know, and even most of us, we read it, we wouldn't understand a thing, right? But what do? We still check the mark, because why? It may be a mystery, but I want all that God's outpouring. I want all the deposit, and I want all the download that needs to come into my system, because why? I want the upgrade. I want what it takes to get there from here. And so, God, that's what I want to receive. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost when Jesus said, go to the upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, because I'm going to download into your system, and you're going to go away with a power that you didn't have before. Can you believe that God can literally release an anointing upon us if we just ask him for it? If anybody lacks wisdom, if they ask, what does he get? If you need some power, what do? Pray in the Holy Ghost and connect to the WWW, the worldwide wisdom of God. Connect to the glory cloud, the cloud of heaven. And when you connect, it says, whatever you do, don't disconnect until it's finished. Come on. When God starts something in your heart, don't let go until it's done. Say, God, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep asking. God, I'm going to stay in that place until I receive what you have for me in this season. Come on, lift up your hands. Father, we're saying we're a hungry people. We heard about it already this morning. We're a thirsty people. We're a desirous people. We want to receive the download of heaven, not just because we want to be blessed, but we want to have everything that you have in store for us so we can be those that represent you rightly in the earth. And so, God, we connect to the cloud right now, and we say, download into me. I've already given you permission, Lord. It may be a mystery. I may not understand what I'm getting exactly, but I know when it's done, I'm going to have a new operating system. God, you're going to deal with some malware, some corrupted files, some Trojans and false things, some things that need to be broken so I don't freeze. Father, right now, let that be released into our lives that we might operate with that grace. Now, put your hand on your belly, because it says, you know what? this will not be installed until you hit the reset button. You know what the reset button is when you receive it, you say, okay, God, now I need it. I'm going to operate with it. I'm going to reset my faith. I'm going to reset my expectations. I'm going to reset my heart. I'm going to reset my love. I'm going to reset my hope right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray in the Holy Ghost. We reset our system right now. We upgrade right now. We decree we're going to a new level. We're not going to be behind the times. We're going to be ahead of the curve. In the name of Jesus, Father, we decree it's ours even now, and that we are going to operate on the high level that will be just like you in the earth. Those called the body of Christ will act like it. And so, Father, we receive that now in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of agreement and love. Hallelujah! A whole new level in Jesus' name. You know, I was watching the news the other day. A couple years ago, there was this big hurricane that came into the Carolinas, and we know about hurricanes in Florida. And so I was watching the news. They had this old kind of codger on there, and the reporter was asking him, well, what do you think was taking place? And he said, I've never seen so much rain come in with a storm like this. And then he said an amazing thing. He said, these trees that have been here my whole life, they've always been here. They all toppled over. They're all uprooted. They're all over the place. I can't believe it. And the Lord said to me, son, just whispered in my ear, said, that's the saturation effect. And he said this, that you may have things rooted in your ground, things that are high and lifted up, things that have been there in the landscape of your life, all the days of your life, generationally, you think this is just the way it is and always will be. But God says, if you allow the rain of my presence to begin to saturate the ground, if you release the outpouring of heaven upon the earth, then in a moment when the wind of God begins to blow, I can uproot anything. I can change the very landscape of what you've lived with in your life personally, in the life of the church, or in the life in a territory or a city. Come on, how many believe that that actually could take place if it happens naturally? How much more God can uproot, pull down, and destroy whatever has been set there as a curse or iniquity or a thing the enemy has used to hold things in place? Father, we decree it's time for a transformation, and that you're going to do what you need to in the midst of the land. Say, Lord, I give you permission. The outpouring of the rain of the Holy Ghost is what begins to be that which is releasing us into that. The Lord says it's a season more than ever before that we're going to have prophetic eyes. We're going to have to be able to see it God's way. The truth of it is, when we first look at something, we don't always see it God's way. And sometimes we look at the church and we define it. You know, as long as we allow the world to define the church will be confined. But the only thing that will loose the church is revelation. When we know what God has decreed we're called to be, then we have the opportunity to step into that identity and fulfill our destiny. And the Lord said, I will build my church. And when he said that, he had a very specific word that he used called ekklesia. And ekklesia doesn't just mean a gathering of people. Literally, the Greeks understood it meant the Greek Senate. It meant a body of legislators that are called together to rule in a legislative way over a territory. And so when we're gathered here in King's Chapel in this building, yes, we are here worshiping and praising, but we're more than that. We are called to legislate in the spirit and to operate with an authority that will be the determining factor of what happens in Wasilla and in Alaska and throughout whatever territory God's given to us. Well, that sounds kind of crazy. Well, what does it say in Chronicles? If my people know how to pray, know how to repent, know how to seek my face, what will I do? I will heal the land. If who? If my people know how to operate rightly with what they have, they can shift whatever's taking place in the earth. And so sometimes our first view is not the full view, and God says, I need to give you more, and I want to outpour revelation into the church. And actually, the Romans took that same word, ekklesia, and they used it in a military sense as a military task force that was sent into newly conquered territory, and this was their task, make this place look like Rome. And I can tell you, from experience of traveling the world, they did it pretty well. Their ruins are everywhere. Their roads are everywhere. But what did Jesus say to his church? Pray this way. Let my kingdom come, my will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Make this place, make Wasilla look like heaven. Make your home look like heaven. Make your workplace look like heaven. Make Alaska look like heaven. Well, that sounds crazy. How do you do it? Do it like the Romans did. Loose Roman law. Make Roman roads. Come on. Go and preach the gospel. Make the Roman road open to them. You know, the book of Romans, they say, this is how you come into the kingdom of heaven. So all of a sudden, the church takes on a different kind of mentality of, well, you just need to go hide in your church. No. You need to be a city set on a hill like that church you're building, that all men might see some light in the midst of darkness, and there might be hope in the midst of a hurting world. Sometimes you got to look at yourself with a fresh view, because you've got used to yourself. You look in the mirror and you understand what you see. And some of you, when you look, you don't just see that. You see all your problems and failures. But I'm telling you what, God's trying to freshen up that thing and show you a whole new view and say, you know what, that may be true of your past, that may even be true of your present, but I don't just look at you with where you're at. I always have a prophetic view of where I am taking you. And so I want you to begin to update. I want you to begin to upgrade and understand you are an overcomer. Understand that you are the apple of my eye. Understand I always had a plan for your life. You're not a mistake going somewhere to happen. I have a purpose for you, and I have ordained you to be my representative in the earth. And so you've been granted sonship and daughtership, and you've been given an authority, and that you can operate with that. And when we upgrade and get that right view, then we can operate the way that we're called to, because your destiny is always dependent upon your identity. You get your identity straight and you will fulfill your destiny, because when you know who you are, you'll easily do who you are. The enemy lies to us to bring limitation to us, to confine us and stop us. The moment we decide to believe the truth, what will the truth do for you? Not just set you free, it will make you free. You'll be a free person the way God called you to operate from the beginning. When you look at your circumstances with a fresh eye, you understand that God has had a plan in the midst of whatever has been taking place to be able to exalt you, to be able to make you an overcomer, to make you more like Him, to bring you into that place of fulfillment that God has called over your life, so that you're not living in the struggles of life, but you're understanding that you are battling to be able to accomplish a beachhead, to be able to advance a cause, and to be able to make a difference for those around about you. You are anointed for this time. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. When Jesus said it, He was talking about Himself as the Messiah, but how many know that we are Christians, Christ-like? And so if you have the Spirit of the Lord, then you are anointed. So turn to somebody and say, wow, I didn't know you were that anointed. A number of years ago, a good friend of ours and of your pastor's as well, Jim LaFoon, was preaching, and afterwards we talked to him, and he said, I had this dream, and it's about the world and what's taking place right now. It was back in 2008, and it was a time of great, if you remember, economic upheaval. And he saw this dream of this great horse race, and he saw this big white horse running around the racetrack, looked like running free, running strong, surely going to win. And down the downstretch, then it hit a ditch, fell, and broke both its legs. A tragic view. Not long after that, he was watching the Kentucky Derby, and for the first time ever, a horse called Eight Bells had that happen to it. Fell and broke both its legs. And so he said, Lord, what are you saying? And my ears were attuned, because we had been going through a pretty hard time in Florida as the economic downturn was upon us. And he said, the Lord said to me, the two legs of that horse are the American economy and the global economy. And he said, the Lord said it will be a recession, not a depression. And then at that point, it was really encouraging, believe it or not, because it was very devastating at that moment. A lot of people going bankrupt, a lot of things happening, losing their homes, all kinds of things. But the Lord said to me, it's not really an economic recession that's going to impact this generation of the church. It's a spirit of depression. And the Lord said there's been a loosing of a spirit of depression to try to rob hope from the church, to try to get them distracted into survival, to try to stop them from advancing, to get under the circumstance where they will not advance the way that they are called. And the Lord said that if depression has within it that component of anger, which is part of grief, then it says it'll take you down a path where your anger will either turn outwardly toward aggression or inwardly toward depression. And so not knowing what really depression was all about, I did the best thing that any good prophet should do. I Googled it, right? And so this is what it says. It says when you're in that state, you can't sleep or just sleep all the time. You can't concentrate. Even easy things become hard. You feel hopeless and helpless. You can't control your negative thoughts. You either don't eat at all or you eat too much. You get irritable. Everybody gets on that last nerve. Or you begin to think that you're worthless, hopeless. You isolate. You withdraw. You lose all your energy and your interest. And fatigue sets in. And I heard the Lord saying as I was praying about this that this is actually a strong man over the state of Alaska that has been here for a long time and that God wants to do, like I said a few minutes ago, he wants to uproot that thing. And the only answer to it is the light of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rays of light that begin to come into every dark place. Lift up your hands, Father, if there's any here struggling, anybody that in their family has been struggling with depression and grief and that assignment of the enemy, we break the power of it now and decree no more. We say there's a shift happening in this state and that the joy of the Lord is going to be in the camp of the Lord, in the house of God, and it's going to spread like an awakening spirit where there will be laughter and there will be joy in the streets. Father, we decree that there's breaking now, that heaviness that the enemy has tried to bring by the very oil of gladness and the garment of praise and the anointing of Jesus himself that's destroying every assignment of hell. Declare, I am free in Jesus' name. I see the Lord just breaking people loose into a smile and a joy, and just they're going to say, what's making you so happy? You know, when people give you that extra glance like, I'm afraid of you, that's good, you know. You're too happy. I'm telling you what, God's trying to get a new view into the church. You remember the classic story of Elisha when he was going and spying on the camp of the enemy, and all of a sudden the enemy got frustrated because all of their plans got stopped because of the spirit of discernment. I can remember many years ago, my wife, we went over to Fort Walton Beach, which is not far from us in Santa Rosa Beach, and we went to hear Prophet Kim Clement at the time, which my dad had ministered to back in South Africa, and he came to the States. And he gave my wife a word and said, God's called you to see the snake and see the wolf. And so a spirit of discernment came upon her as my dad laid hands upon her and loosed that. But in the midst of all that, we were in our little modular church at the time, and as we were walking through and I had gone outside and she was by herself, she heard this voice come behind her in the midst of the church saying, I'm going to kill you. It was so loud and so clear that she turned around and thought surely somebody was in the church. And she walked through all the building, which wasn't that big at the time, but she walked through and there was nobody in the church. And so it was interesting that she had this succession of dreams where this demon, this foul-looking, angry demon, would show up and look her in the face and say, I'm going to kill you. And so we got together, we prayed about it, we made some decrees, and we took communion and said, no, this will not take place. And then about the third time or fourth time she had this dream, it's like in the middle of this dream, all of a sudden something rose up inside of her in the dream, and she looked back at this demon when he said, I'm going to kill you, and said, I think if you could have killed me, you would have done it already. And then she saw this strange thing. She saw the hand of the Lord in the back of this demon say, you have to tell her. And you would think, why is God sending a demon to talk to my wife in a dream? It wasn't so that she would back up out of fear. It wouldn't be that she would quit her ministry. It was because, like Elisha, God was trying to expose the plans of hell to say, this is an assignment of witchcraft that's now been sent against you, not for you to quit or to give into it, but to rise up and say, this will not take place. As far as me and my house, we will be blessed. I'm putting a fire around about us and a glory in the midst. We're decreeing right now, you foul spirit and assignment of death, go and leave me and my family alone in the name of Jesus. Now, that was 30-some years ago. Folks were still alive and well and traveling the nations of the earth. Why? Because we warred with the word of the Lord and got a different view. See, Elisha all of a sudden was surrounded, it says, by the enemy because he wanted to retaliate because of the discernment that he was having against his camp. And so the king had gotten up and says, I'm going to kill somebody today because there's got to be a spy. And they said, no, it's not us. It's that prophet, that prophetic mantle over there in Israel. And so the enemy got all of his forces and surrounded Elisha and his servant. And you would have thought when they woke up, they were dead men. And so that's what the servant thought. Because he looked and said, uh-oh, horses, chariots, thousands, how many ever there was, and we have no hope. So he runs to Elisha and says, Elisha, it's a bad day. We are surrounded and look like we're going to get wiped out. At best, taken captive, probably killed. And Elisha, the man of God, turns back to his servant and says, what? No, there are more with us than are with them. Oh, man of God, interesting word you have today. But have you looked out the window? Have you checked the surroundings? I mean, it looks like there is no hope, no way forward. We are outnumbered, outmatched. We're going down. And then Elisha says this, servant, can you come over here? I want to do something for you. I know you're looking, but you're not really seeing. Right now, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And all of a sudden, he looked and he saw, yes, this is a circumstance, but then he saw something else. He saw the reality of the kingdom of God. He saw the reality of the word, the prophetic view. And he all of a sudden said, yes, I may look like I'm surrounded by the enemy, but the enemy is surrounded by the Almighty. What can I do but win? Oh, God, you've already decreed my victory. And so I know already what's going to take place. Now listen, there are days when you wake up and you say, God, I don't know. And you know what? When that takes place, I say, honey, can you pray for me? And there are days that my wife might say, honey, I need you to pray for me. There are days that Bishop Hammond will pray for me. And there are other days when he says, son, I don't see it, but I need to. Can you pray for me? The truth of it is, we all need a little bit of that. In fact, turn to somebody and say, will you pray for me? That's just humility. That's just saying we need one another. That's why we encourage one another and we operate with the grace that God has given. You know, it says in Nehemiah, don't be weary, but war. God says, be of great strength. That actually means be a warrior. And how many know when you're going to be a warrior, the worst enemy of a warrior is what? Fear. Fear and complacency will take you out. Well, you don't understand, Apostle Tom, I'm a lover, not a fighter. You know what I found out? If you're really gonna be a lover, then you have to be a fighter. If you love your family, you'll fight for your family. If you love your wife, you'll fight for your marriage. If you love your church, you'll fight for your pastor. If you love your country, you'll fight for your country. If you love the kingdom of God, then you'll fight for the King of Kings and give your life and say, whatever it takes, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I know how to win because Jesus has already declared my victory. David was a lover. Oh, he could write some songs and some psalms, but he knew how to fight too when the cause was right in front of him. And God's looking for those that can get a new view and not give in to whatever the enemy is saying. This is the new status quo. This is the new norm. This is what you got to give in to in this generation. This is just the way it is. Well, it doesn't have to be. If we choose to be the people of God, if my people will repent, will cleanse themselves, seek God, who knows what God would do in our generation to heal our land. God wants to move in your life. He wants to move in our generation. He wants to shift things. I mean, there was a day when Elijah, the prophet of God, was getting under the spirit of Jezebel and the spirit of Ahab that was ruling by witchcraft in the land, and it felt pretty desperate and dark. And then a day came when he said, I'm going to decree over the land and say, there will be no more rain, no more blessing until this is dealt with. And all of a sudden, everything came to a head. They found themselves at Mount Carmel, little old Elijah seemingly by himself, and all these that were procrastinating and saying, prognosticating and saying what had to be, and Oh, man, they had such fervor, such strength, 700 of this, 700. Oh, man, they've got it all together. They got everything. And Elijah just sits back and says, well, let's check it out and see what takes place. And we know the confrontation took place, and he won a great victory. And then he begins to decree, okay, because of this, the atmosphere is going to change. The drought is over. The blessings of God are going to begin to flow. This is a whole new day. And so he goes up to the mountain by the sea, and he says to his servant, hey, servant, can you go and just see the fruit of my word, what's taking place? He goes out, hey, all right. I'm so excited. That was an awesome prophetic word. Did you hear what God said about Wasilla? Did you hear what God said about my life? Did you hear what God said about my future? This is an awesome word. Let me go check it out. Do you see anything? Sorry, man of God. Nothing yet. Yeah. Oh, okay, we'll go again. All right. Oh, sure. Okay. Ooh. Okay. No. Can you go again? Three times. That's got to be it. Three's a charm. All right. No charm. Oh, man, nothing. Sorry. What can you go? Four times. Wow. This is getting kind of teary. I'm kind of getting tired. I don't know. Five times. Six times. My hands are hanging down. My head's hanging down. My knees are feeble. I don't think this is a good word. I don't know if it is ever going to come to pass. It's been a long time since I don't know, man of God. Can you go one more time? One more time. Do I have to? One more time. Yeah, there's a lot of ocean, a lot of sky. Yeah. Drought's over. Okay, man, amen. Maybe. Yeah, Elijah, yeah, you know, you see it? Can you see it? I mean, can you see? So I know charismatics, we can have a lot of exciting miracles that maybe aren't quite miracles that we get excited about, you know. Like I woke up this morning and my hair worked out. It's a miracle! That same Pastor Daniel has that miracle every morning. It's amazing. I saw a cloud like the size of a man's hand. And you would think Elijah go, oh, really? That's it? He said, no. Oh, that's it. Hallelujah. Oh, the miracle's here. Oh, the heavens are open. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Oh, the atmosphere is changing. The rain is going to fall. The blessings are here. Everything's changed. Look, sometimes you've got to be able to celebrate that little shift in the atmosphere as a sign of what God has decreed in your life and lay claim to the inheritance of what God says is yours and that he's going to outpour just like he promised. And if you'll celebrate the little shift, you can see the whole atmosphere begin to change. And all of a sudden, God says, the word of the Lord is bringing revival, is bringing awakening, is bringing the shift in the atmosphere that people have prayed about, cried about, looked forward to, and now here is the day. Oh, well, that was Elijah back then. No, my Bible says he was a man of like passions. And he prayed for the heavens to shut up and for them to open. And you, if you have a fervent, righteous heart to pray, you can do the same thing today. Come on. We can shift the atmosphere that changes everything. I want you to stand up and lift up your hands before the Lord. I want to agree with you. Because listen, it doesn't mean everything's rosy every day. We all know that even rose bushes have some thorns. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face adversity. It means you can speak to the winds and the wave, peace, be still. It means that you are made in the authority in the name of Jesus to be able to command in this earth and shift whatever needs to change. My brother right here with the vest, I hear the Lord saying, son, I want you to know that I have made you for this time. I have been refining and aligning you, and you've had to find your footing with a fresh orientation. But the Lord says, don't be afraid of a new day, because I'm going to not only prosper your hand, but I'm going to give you a wisdom that's beyond your own. You've looked at yourself at times and said, I don't have this behind me, and I don't have this degree, and I don't have these things. But God says, you have me, and I'm going to show up like I did for my servant David, even in your voice, and you're going to turn the tide for me and for you. Is that your wife? And the Lord says, my daughter, I want you to know this is a time of my anointing and my appointing upon your life, and I'm getting ready to stir some fresh things, some things that were dreams of old are coming alive. The talent and the giftedness that's inside of you is not going to go unheeded or unseen. You're going to find that there's a sprouting out of the ground and a flourishing that's come to you. You have cried to me in the midst of a dark time, and I have heard your cry, and I am shifting now, and I see a light like a light beam. And you said, but oh, it's just this much. And God says, no, it's a laser, and it's cutting through, and it's dealing even surgically for some things that are very delicate that need to be touched in a particular way. The spirit of counsel has been around about you, and it's going to invade your heart, and it's going to work for you, but it's also getting ready to flow from you on a whole new level. Lift up both your hands. Father, I speak the anointing of wisdom and revelation. Every attack of the enemy, we attack it back. We shut it down. We shut the mouth of the accuser. We loose the voice of influence now that you've decreed that they are called to carry for you in Jesus' name. My brother right here, are you guys together? Together? Still claim them? Claim each other? All right. I hear the Lord say, son and daughter, I want you to know, I did a work of peace inside of you in the midst of perplexity. I saw that you have a simple faith, my brother. And when things get very complex, it wants to shut you down. And sometimes you're trying to analyze and figure it all out. But God's saying, I'm bringing you back to your foundations. And there's some things that were laid in your life, even as a testimony. And God says, let that testimony speak today from the ground. And God's breaking open even in a new way within your lives to see there's been some struggles you've had to contend with. And you've said, God, why? But God doesn't want you to say why. And I want you to ask wise. I want wise words, wise hearts. God's going to give you the wisdom from on high upon your life. And I see that you're called to be pillars to carry great weight. And that's why God has allowed some things to be shaken and allowed some things to be solidified and dealt with. And God says, don't be afraid of my hand that's compacting and correcting and bringing that strength inside of you, because you're going to find that you're here for the long time and the long haul. You're not going to come and go and to just try to figure out a place to flow. You are a part of my purpose. And so, Father, I anoint them right now. I grace them with your great love. I speak your strength into them where they feel weak. And I declare they are going to run with the mighty ones for you and uphold the hands of many in this house for you. My brother right here, if you come over, I hear the Lord saying, son, I want you to know, the mantle of this house is upon you, but I've also given you that which is your own, that you will find that it will begin to come in alignment with all that I have placed inside of you. And you're going to begin to see that exponential release. It will not just be multiplication. It will be that which is a power of 10. It will be the increase that is crazy, that people will say, no, you're lying. This cannot be. But yet it will be the truth and even greater than what people can see. And so I am with you. Get ready for the signs and the wonders and the miracles. The Lord says, you've cried out to me, and it's not going to be about your name, but it's going to be about my name. But people are going to have your name on their lips simply because you've been willing to go and bear the reproach. You've been willing to take the scorn. You've been willing to take the pain that other people have thrown your way, and you've risen up to a higher standard and level. And so the Lord says, even where you felt weak, you felt like, I don't know if I can carry all of this, but God says, son, I made you for it. Don't be afraid. And I'm going to bring a team that's going to begin to reproduce, a school that's going to cause many to arise and align and be able to run. And you won't have to do it all, but you will delegate many times, and you will see that they have that right spirit. It will not be a duplication that begins to lose the origination, but it will keep the stamp of authenticity upon it, says the Lord. So I anoint you for it in Jesus' name. Yes, I see you staying under this man, staying under the plan. And as you do, I just see God keeping you safe in the midst of every wave. Just one more, you guys here. You don't mind coming up. Father, I'm so thankful for this couple. The grace of God is upon you, my son and my daughter. You have persevered. There's been some things that you know that nobody else does. You have secret knowledge, and that's okay. The Lord says you're like a secret service agent. You've stood and you've guarded and you cared and you ministered and you were there to make sure things were done right. And the Lord says, the watchman on the wall will be rewarded rightly, says the Lord. And the ones that stand alongside and lift up the hands and even stay with the stuff will be blessed the same way as the Davidic company that went and pursued and recovered all. You have been to your Ziklag, but you've also been to the mountain, says the Lord. And because of that, the glory rests upon you, and the anointing to destroy the yoke is now a rich mixture. I see, like when you take certain chemicals and certain things, even for an engine, if you mix it richly, then it can run hotly. And God says, what you pour out causes people to run fervently, to run strongly, and to not burn out. And so, Father, I anoint them right now. You're never going to be weary. You're never going to be burnt out. You're never going to be ones that feel like it's too much or too heavy. You're always going to rise up to the challenge and release the generation to run with a mighty strength from the Lord. We anoint them now in Jesus' name. Give a shout. Hey! Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Come on, stretch your hands out as a sign of blessing. And the Lord says, son, I want you to know you've come a long ways, and the things that you've done along the way has not just been stops to try to catch your breath and just try to make it be okay, but it's been a deposit of me inside of you every single place. And I see very strategically some places where you didn't want to be, but God says, I was in that, and I came in you in a new way. And I see just a strength that's like God has got. It's like when you're charging that battery, you see the little lights go up from red to green to green to green until boom. And I see that God's saying there's a full charge inside of you that you're going to be able to give and give and flow and go and not see that drain that tries to come onto your system. Even my sister, there's been something that tried to drain you at times physically, that tried to come against your mind. But I want you to know even that, which was the plan of the enemy, is going to be a stepping stone of victory for you. For you're an overcomer. You know how to pray, and you've asked me to know how to stay, and you stuck in there through the thick and the thin and through some things that you could have said what you wanted to say, but you said, God, what are you saying? And because of that, I heard your prayer, and I begin to work on your behalf. And the Lord says your marriage and your ministry and your future are all tied together, and God has graced you in a very special way for you to be able to have a testimony about the goodness of God, and even about the trials and the weights and how to bear it up, and even know how to break and be remade, and to be able to be a vessel of honor for the Lord. And so I see a testimony that's going to go out far and wide, way beyond this house and this place, that people will know who I am. There's a testimony of the strong man being broken that's even been in this land, that you have seen it and understood even the rates that you look at and the way things come out in the polls and the surveys. And you're going to look at that and say, this is an assignment of hell. And you're going to pray, but more than that, you're going to be a voice for me. I've given you a voice of influence, says the Lord. Don't let the enemy rob you of the dignity that I have placed there. Though there's been some things that people accused and said, I raced those things, says the Lord, and I have made you a man of honor that's in my stead. I'm covering you even in your weakness. The Lord says you'll see that my strength will be made evident. And so, Father, I anoint this couple. I decree their victory right now. I say that they're going to go from strength to strength, victory to victory, and glory to glory in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.